Loudspeaker Studios. Loudspeaker and Open Stage Theater present Rabbit Hole Radio Theater's production of Major Arcana. Tonight's episode, Save Your Shrink.
There will be times in your life when you don't know what to do, which path to choose, which action to take. In those times, the guidance and counsel of a wise person can be extremely useful. Wise counsel is the essence of the Hierophant card of the Major Arcana. He is the spiritual leader who can guide you when you find yourself lost, or caught between conflicting desires that have you spinning in all directions and getting nowhere. The Hierophant cannot help you achieve those desires, but he can help you understand them. The gift of the Hierophant is not action, but the understanding necessary to take the action that is in harmony with your truest desires. Be open to the opportunity. Wise counsel can come from the most unlikely places.
December 1st, Dr. Jonathan Horatio recording. New patient notes for Christopher Rosenfeld, referred by Pernurious Insurance at the request of Foster greeting cards. Standard psychological fitness evaluation prior to granting medical benefits as part of full-time employment. Carla, I'll leave all the forms in the blue folder on your desk.
Subject is 30 years old, erratic employment history. Has been writing verses for the company as an independent contractor for about a year. Immediate supervisor Frank Baxter has high praise for the quality of Mr. Rosenfeld's work, but has expressed reservations about his emotional stability.
Sorry to disturb you, Doctor, but you have a call on line one.
Thank you, Carla. Who is it?
It's your father. Shall I tell him you're with a patient?
No, that's fine. I'll take it.
Here he is.
Hi, Dad. What's up?
Not much. You know how it is with us lonely old widowers. Get up, feed the cat, nap in the recliner.
Stop it, Dad. You're only 75. And when did you get a cat?
I didn't. But how would you know?
Okay. So I haven't been over to see you in a while. But the practice has been so busy.
I know. I read about your clients in the tabloids or the society pages. See your name there sometimes, too.
Charity events, mostly. Tax purposes, you know.
Shady Acres giving you a tax break, too?
Pardon me?
Shady Acres Assisted Living Center. That retirement home you want to stick me in, so you can forget about me completely.
Dad, it's not like that, and you know it. Gail and I just feel that with Mom gone, you could use some help. And Lord knows you don't need all that space out at the house. You said yourself the stairs are starting to wear on your knees.
Maybe.
Besides, at Shady Acres, you'll have your own space, but no upkeep. No lawn to mow in the summer, no sidewalks to shovel in the winter, no dishes to do with the maid service.
So what am I supposed to do with my time? Listen to baseball on the radio all day?
There are plenty of activities, and people who share your interests to meet and do things with.
Old folks, you mean? I've got plenty of friends of my own, thank you.
Have you seen any of them more often than you've seen your grandkids?
That's not the point.
Excuse me, Doctor, but Mr. Rosenfeld is here for his 10 o'clock appointment.
Thanks, Carla. Hey, Dad, I have an important patient to see right now, but why don't we pick you up for a visit this Saturday? Madison would love you to watch your soccer game.
Well...
Great. See you then. Bye.
Mr. Rosenfeld brought some additional medical records with him.
Oh my, 2 volumes.
At least they're neatly bound. Did anyone mention his previous diagnosis?
Diagnosis?
Schizophrenia.
Well, this could be an interesting challenge. Interesting indeed. Show him in, Carla. Come in. You must be Christopher.
If I must. And you must be the doc.
I am Dr. Horatio. Why don't you have a seat?
I don't need one.
What? Oh, I get it. That's good. Please sit down.
If it will make you more comfortable.
Now, Christopher.
Chris.
All right. Chris. You don't have to be nervous.
Why should I be nervous?
Well, some people can find this sort of thing a little intimidating.
You?
I'm sorry?
Do you mean I'm supposed to find you intimidating?
You ask a lot of questions.
Do I?
Do you know why you are here?
They want to make sure I'm not crazy. Again. Do you know why you are here?
Yes.
Why are you here?
To see if I can help you.
Did I ask for your help?
No, but this isn't about me. I've been asked to talk to you by people who are concerned about you.
Yeah, I've been lucky that way. My parents were so concerned about me, they put me on Thorazine when I was 12.
Tell me about your parents.
It always starts there, doesn't it? My parents did the best they could. They took on a lot when they adopted me, and they knew it. My biological mother was institutionalized shortly after I was born. Claimed angel voices told her to have me. Woo woo.
And your biological father?
Well, that is the mystery. On the birth certificate, it says father unknown.
And does that bother you?
I've always felt that he was somewhere in the background, waiting for me to do something. It's like I could hear his voice in my head, but not like my mother's voices. Just, well, an all-seeing, all-knowing presence.
You have received many evaluations in the past. Tell me what happened when you were 12. Is that when you received the diagnosis for schizophrenia?
Yeah, I went missing for a couple of days, that's all. When they found me, they said I was in pretty bad shape. But I felt terrific. Like I had finally done something important. Maybe learned a great secret of life. But damned if I can remember it now. I think it's the meds. But they sure helped me make it through the day. So, is that crazy?
Tell me more about your father's presence. Have you seen him?
Doc, we're here to find out that I'm not crazy, remember? Visual hallucinations are not part of the package. But I just have this feeling like he's expecting something from me. Something big.
An absent father can have a profound effect on the development of a young child. Most boys have a need to seek approval from the father that lasts well into adulthood. In some cases, it can drive a wedge between father and son.
Like you and your father?
What?
I heard you on the intercom before I came in. Your assistant asked if you wanted to dodge the call. Then she buzzed in on purpose.
Well, he and I have had our differences. But that's not important right now. This is your session. Tell me about writing greeting cards.
It's a living. I've always had a gift for storytelling, or so I've been told. I just seem to have a knack for putting what other people feel into words.
Your editor, Mr. Baxter, seems to be very impressed. He says you are the best writer of inspirational verse he's ever worked with.
Now that's crazy. I mean, I don't think what I have to say is all that profound, really. Anybody could come up with the same ideas if they just took the time to think about it. The real challenge is making it all fit on a 5x7 card with enough room left over for a picture of a sad-eyed puppy.
I can see that.
So?
So what?
Will you tell them to go ahead and hire me? That I'll be a good boy and keep taking my medicine and bringing tears to the eyes of middle-aged ladies who want to send the very best words of wisdom to their friends in need?
Is that what you want?
I thought that's why I was here. What else would I want?
I'd really like to talk with you more about that. Would you be available for a follow-up session?
If you get the insurance to cover it, sure, I'll be here. There may be a few questions I'd like to ask you, too. Saying is that we all have our crosses to bear.
And we'll bear them all our lives. Whether the cross is our burden or we are the cross's burden depends entirely upon how we choose to see it.
Is that how you see your relationship with your father?
I wouldn't put it quite that way. My father and I have not seen eye to eye on a great many things over the years. But I'm supposed to be asking you that question.
But I don't have a relationship with my father because I don't have a father. What's it like?
What?
Having a real father you can talk to and hug and have over for dinner sometimes.
Don't you have dinner with your adopted parents?
I think I make them uncomfortable. So we've kind of agreed to keep our distance. But why don't you spend more time with your father? Do you make him uncomfortable?
Not really. Not that I know. Our issues are more with his difficulty accepting his stage of life. We found him a spot in a very nice assisted living center, but he's being stubborn.
So why don't you ask him to move in with you?
Well, I don't know. I never thought...
Didn't you tell me you were here to help?
I'm so busy with the practice.
Don't tell me you don't have the room.
No, that's not it.
Do you want him to know his grandkids?
Well, yes, but our relationship hasn't...
Just a thought. A voice. Crying in the wilderness, perhaps.
Yes. Well, where were we? We were talking about... Ah, yes. We were talking about your feelings. That's right. Your feelings about your relationship, or lack of a relationship, with your father.
If you say so.
For Christopher Rosenfeld, December 20th session. Today we talked a great deal about Mr. Rosenfeld's lack of a relationship with his biological father. There seems to be a long-standing tension between him and his adopted father that could explain his obsession in...
I'm going to lunch. Can I bring you back anything?
No, but thanks, Carla.
I'll start typing up those notes when I get back. Are they for Chris?
Yes. You know, Carla... It may be just a part of his father complex, but he made the most extraordinary suggestion to me during the session.
Like what?
Okay, try this. What would you say if Ray suggested his father come live with you in your house?
Are you saying that's what Chris told you to do?
Well, yes.
You're not going to start taking advice from your patients. I mean, they're here for a reason.
I know, but the more I think about it... You know, Gail, how do you think she'd like the idea?
Permission to speak freely, sir?
Of course. That's why I asked.
I've never really understood why you duck your dad in the first place. He seems sweet. Gail's a wonderful woman. I think they'd get along great.
It does feel like the right call, doesn't it? But it's asking a lot. I'll have to talk with her this evening. Aw, heck. Get my wife on the phone now, will you, Carla? No, I'll do it myself. This could really work out well, you know?
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, just for listeners of Major Arcana. Audible is offering a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. Choose any book you want and cancel at any time. The book is yours no matter what. So give it a try at audibletrial.com/rabbithole. Again, that's audibletrial.com/rabbithole for your free audiobook.
You're listening to a podcast on the Loudspeaker Network. Loudspeaker is a listener-supported nonprofit public radio service and production studio devoted to amplifying the voices, stories, and artistic expressions of underserved communities. We can't do this without the support of our listeners. If you enjoy our programming, become a member of Loudspeaker and support our mission with a donation of your choice. Learn more at loudspeaker.org.
In today's session, I intend to explore Mr. Rosenfeld's constellation of conflicts concerning his absent father and how it relates.
Doctor, Mr. Rosenfeld is here.
Thank you, Carla. Send him in. Chris! Hello!
Hi, Doc. How are you doing?
You know, I'm supposed to ask you that.
Right. How's your father?
Well, here's the switch. I took your advice.
What advice was that, exactly?
I asked my father to move in with us. I gave it a great deal of thought, talked with my wife, and realized I just couldn't think of anything he'd done that I couldn't forgive.
You'd be surprised how many people see that situation differently. But it's working out?
It's been great. He watches the kids after school, and they are having a ball getting to know him. I took some time off to help him get settled, and, well, we talked. I mean, really taught. For the first time in years.
I'm very happy for you and your father.
I'm sorry to rattle on like this, but I can't thank you enough. It was the best choice I could have made. I just didn't see it until you pointed it out.
I hear that a lot. Do you think there is always a best choice?
What do you mean?
You'd agree that in some situations, all the choices available are bad? Like in battle, when your only options are to kill or be killed.
Yes.
If you chose to go to war, the sword over the plowshare, if you will, does that mean the choice to kill or be killed was the inevitable result of your previous choices?
Yes, you could say it does.
But what if you didn't choose the sword? What if the battle is raging all around your plowshare, and the choice to kill or be killed is presented to you without any action on your part?
You still have to choose.
Yes, but is that choice still the inevitable outcome of your previous choices? Or is it just inevitable? Would you call that fate or destiny?
Do you think there's a difference?
Our fate can be the sum total of all our choices, but our destiny can't be changed. Can it?
That's the eternal question. Entire religions have been founded and split over the issue of free will versus predetermination. Why are you thinking about this now?
All around me, I see people making choices that alter their lives. You and your father, for instance. But I don't see a lot of opportunity for that in my own life right now.
Because you've never known your father?
That's part of it. But it's more like my choices have already been made for me.
By whom?
That's just it. I don't think I've met them yet.
What do you mean?
Let me tell you a story. A guy is at a crossroads. He knows where he has to go, but doesn't know how long the journey is going to be. There's an old man sitting at the crossroads, so the guy asks how long it's going to take to get where he is going. The old man doesn't respond, so he asks again. After a third time, he starts down the path. He walks about 100 paces when the old man yells after him,
"About an hour!"
The guy goes back and asks the old man why he didn't answer him the first time. The old man tells him,
"I had to see how fast you were walking first."
And what does that mean to you?
My destination, my destiny, is set. And it's only a matter of how long I take to get there.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but your 11 o'clock is here.
Thank you, Carla. Chris, I'd really like to go into the idea of choices more deeply with you. Between now and the next session, I want you to make a list of the choices that have been made for you. Then make another list of choices you think are still yours to make.
The really hard one might be on the second list. Thanks, Doc.
Follow-up notes for Mrs. Marla Ryan. Initial evaluation session. Mrs. Ryan exhibits...
Sorry to interrupt. More forms. Here's one I thought you might want to see.
What? This letter is to inform you that Christopher Rosenfeld is no longer covered by this policy. His employment with Foster's Greetings has been terminated effective 3 months ago?
It's not your fault. You did everything you could when he didn't show up for his last session. You called everyone personally. Heck, you even drove out to New Jersey. In my book, that is way above the call of duty.
He was... I guess you're right.
He was sweet. And it made me happy to see you taking such a personal interest in your patients. Don't take this the wrong way, but before Chris, you were a little...
Distant? Professionally detached?
I was going to say cold. I think it's good to care about the people you're helping. It's good that you care.
Yeah. What else do you have for me?
Mrs. Beeman. She switched insurance carriers again. Talk about a fear of commitment. I sent her file to the new office.
The front door was open.
Chris!
Whoa, spooky.
I hope I'm not interrupting.
No, not at all. Please come in. Carla, clear the rest of the afternoon for me.
Oh, no. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
It's no problem. Carla?
Sure thing.
Come in. Sit down. You moved out of your apartment. I looked for you, but you weren't there.
Yeah, I'm in the city now, doing some work at a shelter. It's not much, but I have a few friends. They let me stay with them, free room and board.
Is there anything I can do? Do you need some money? I could talk to some people.
No, thank you. I just wanted to say... I saw the obituary.
Oh, I see.
My condolences on the loss of your father.
Thank you. The past 6 months were like a gift. You gave me... us... time we would have lost forever. None of us suspected the tumor would take him so quickly. We didn't even know it was there when I asked him to come live with us.
I know.
In the end, it was as it should have been.
Was it, you know, bad?
You mean his death? No, not really. It was quite peaceful. He was at home with hospice care, and we were all there, even the kids. It was good.
Was it painful?
I don't think so. We did our best to make him comfortable.
Did he seem frightened?
Again, I don't think so. Chris, why don't you tell me what this is all about?
I really don't mean to trouble you.
It's no problem, really. Tell me what's on your mind, Chris.
I've been thinking a great deal about death.
I see.
I wish I knew what to expect.
There is no knowing. Human beings have been wondering what to expect after death since the beginning of time.
No, not so much what happens after you die. That's all taken care of. It's out of my hands. But during, you know, the process.
The process?
The process of dying. What it's like. Is it... I don't know. Is it hard? I know it has to happen. But I am a little... I'm scared.
That's natural.
It is?
Of course. Everyone is frightened by death. The fact that we contemplate our own mortality is part of the human experience.
Part of the human experience? The last part?
Well, yes.
That explains everything and nothing.
Why are you thinking about death at your age? Have you stopped taking your prescription?
The last time we spoke, you said I should make a list of the choices left to me. That was one. And it was an important one, too.
How so?
Now I can hear my father's voice clearly.
What is he saying?
You are my son, whom I love. And with you, I am well pleased. You were right when you said that expectations can drive a wedge between father and son. Mine was always there. I think I met him briefly when I was 12. I've been pushing him away ever since. We are very much the same, you and I. Like you, I needed to invite my father to come stay with me. I know now what I was meant to do, and I am ready.
Chris, why did you come here today?
I have one more question for you.
What is that?
Do you think I'm crazy?
No, I don't think you are.
Thank you. I have to go now. There are many things I have to do.
March 27th, Dr. Jonathan Horatio recording. Final patient notes for Christopher Rosenfeld. Chris has been reported missing. His parents have not heard from him for over a year. His co-workers at the shelter in the city haven't seen him in 3 months. There have been rumors and unconfirmed reports of someone fitting his description being detained by Israeli authorities for incitement to riot near the Western Wall. A crowd standing vigil outside the prison was dispersed by troops and tear gas. When they gathered the next day, dozens died when a suicide bomber... Oh, Chris, is this what you wanted? Is this what it really takes? And on the third day, when they went to seek him, they found the prison empty.
The wisdom of the Hierophant can illuminate the path before you. You may not like what you see, but you may take comfort in knowing that your choice is clear. John was so accustomed to giving advice that he never thought to seek it out. Fortunately for him, an extraordinary young man was able to find the way into his heart and open his mind to a new awareness that brought him peace. Trust me on this. You have been given everything you need to make your journey in this life. Just remember, one of the gifts you have been given is the choice to ask for help. In doing so, you demonstrate not only wisdom, but faith, that in the asking, you shall receive an answer. Try it sometime. You'll be surprised.
Featuring Naomi Bennell as Carla, Nathaniel Cron as Chris, Tim Lynch as Joe, John Wilkinson as Zach, and Judith Allen as the narrator. Directed by Jack Baumgartner with sound engineering by Dave Robison. The Major Arcana writing team includes Laura Arbery, Jack Baumgartner, Jill Garraway, Kate Hawthorne, Brian Hughes, Dave Robison, Terry Robison, Morgan Taylor, Roy Thompson, Carol Van Natta, and Bob Weber. Executive producers for Loudspeaker, Chris Lanfear and Charles Joseph Kelly. Major Arcana is presented by Rabbit Hole Radio Theater, a co-production of Loudspeaker and Open Stage Theater and Company. Hear past seasons and learn more at rabbitholeradio.org. This has been a listener-supported production of Loudspeaker Studios. For more on this and other programs, visit loudspeaker.org.